Matthew chapter 15. I know that we are normally in 2 Samuel during our Wednesday nights, but we're going to take a break from 2 Samuel for a little while. We're going to probably do a special, some type of special topic over the summer. There's a couple different things I'd like to do and with all the people that are out here, so it probably won't be till the end of August or middle to end of August or even the beginning of September until we get back to 2 Samuel chapter 14. It's a good place to stop at. Absalom just killed his brother Amnon. He went for refuge in a pagan area, and then you can see how God works all that out, but we'll pick that back up later on in the year. So you'd be praying always in your mindset when you get the opportunity to preach four different times a week to the same group of people. You're always thinking, okay, what's next? What's next? And you depend on the Lord to lead you and guide you on what you should be doing, because we want Him to pick and choose. I don't want to pick and choose, because we want God to do the work. But tonight we're going to look a little bit at just a topical message. One of the things I'd love to be able to speak on is prayer, and tonight's is a mother's prayer, but I don't think that's what this summer is going to be about. A mother's prayer is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the Syrophoenician woman and the story that she has there. I think there's some things that we can learn, but before we get into that spot, I'd like to get to, we're going to read the verses leading up to that. You know, the revival I enjoyed, I told you probably more than once, the sermon I liked best was the Monday night when I talked about Daniel praying for the people of Jerusalem. There's nothing he could do because of his age and because of his location and because of his stage in life. He wasn't able to go back to Jerusalem, but he was there and he was praying. And that just brought a lot of thoughts to my heart and mind, because many of the things we pray about, we can't do anything about. Many of the things that we obviously there are certain things we can do about. We can, you know, like with Miss Nancy looking for the job, she can pray about looking for a job and she's putting out applications. That's putting feet to your faith. But sometimes when a lot of our prayer requests, like for a Mrs. Franks, you know, we can't fix her. At least I know I can't. God has to do that. And we think about physical concerns. But then we think about spiritual matters. Brother Jim mentions about winning people to Christ. They're talking, and yes, there we can have a part in that. We've been given a great commission to go out. But you know, you think about the person that is hundreds of miles away. What are you going to do with that person? Now, you could obviously find a good local church that could go out and talk to them. But there are certain things that we can't physically do, and we depend upon the Lord, and we ask God for help because there's nothing that we can do about it. I know that many of you sitting in this room are parents. Some are grandparents. I don't know if we have any great-grandparents in the room or not. So any great-grandparents? Mr. Bill's a great-grandparent. Miss Maxie, Miss Mita. I was thinking maybe Miss Mita. But Mr. Humbert is too. Wow. So that's wonderful. But those kids and those grandkids and those great-grandkids, your influence, even though it is some, isn't probably as much as you would like it to be. And sometimes you see them going down the wrong path, and no matter how much you try to live a Christian life in front of them, you're going to need God's help. And we have the faith to bring our children to Jesus. But the question is, do we have the faith to take our children to Jesus in prayer? We have the faith many times to want to introduce them to God, but are we faithfully, by faith, praying for those situations? And that's what you're going to see in this woman's life, is that she goes to the Lord, she cries out to God, she does not get her answer done very quickly. The Lord is trying to increase her faith, the Lord is trying to build her faith, and she continues and continues because she knows she has a need that she can do nothing about. And that's the mindset that we need to get when it comes to our prayer lives. We need to get to the spot and say, you know, I cannot do this on my own. I need God's help, and I'm going to cry out to God, and I'm going to continue to cry out to God, and I'm going to continue to beseech God and continue, even when there are things that happen I do not understand, like you're going to see in this passage of Scripture, the responses that Jesus gives can be explained, but most of us would have given up after the first response or the second response. But she continues on because she has faith to bring her child to God. has faith to get there. And she is not just a faith of saying, okay, here's the truth, and I want you to live by the truth. But instead, it's the faith of saying, you know what? I know God can help. And I'm going to continue to go to God. And I'm going to continue to go to God. And I'm going to continue to go to God. Because it's not just about what I can do here physically, but even more importantly is what I can do on a spiritual plane and a spiritual warfare. Because remember, the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God, and it is to the pulling down of strongholds, and it is to bringing every thought into captivity. It is a spiritual battle we're in. Everything has to do with a spiritual battle. And when we get to the spot in our prayer life, and you look through the Bible, it was not just Daniel. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah was hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, and he was praying, and it was something he could not do anything about, but he was praying about it, and God opened the door for him to do something. And you see people that are praying for people all across the country, people that are praying for other people all across the world, and you know, God can work and God can move in our prayers. So tonight, that's what I want to do, is in trying to encourage you with this mother's prayer. Now, this is something that the Lord gets kind of, there's a number of people in different subjects and situations when I was thinking about, you know, how to pray or what to pray for. And I like this story because we can all kind of get to this idea that most of us do not have children that are living for God like we like them to. Most of us have children, and when they're out of the house, a lot of them struggle. Now, I know some of you have godly children. I'm thankful for that. I know some of you had children that you wish were closer to God. I know you have some of you have children that said that you don't believe they're saved. And so what do you do with them? Yeah, there are things that we can do here in this physical world, and we should do that. That's putting feet to our prayers. But then there's also something that we can do in a spiritual battle realm, and that is fighting for him through prayers, fighting on our knees, some people say. And I think it's a good thing to understand, and it's a good thought here. And it's not only just for our children. Some of us have mates that no matter what we try to do, nothing's going to change that mate that we say or do. But do we have the faith to take them to God? We have the faith to bring what we have about God to them, but do we have the faith to continually bring them before the Lord? And not just bring them before the Lord because you want to know how to deal with them, to bring them before the Lord and say, God, help change this person. Help, Lord, they need you. They need to, and as you're praying that way, God will change you. And in this story tonight, you see a woman here who says, Lord, help me. She didn't have any other problem than to just that her daughter had demons. So it wasn't, Lord, help her. It's, Lord, help me. It became personal. Lord, I need you to help me here. And whether it's job situation, mates, children, like we had already mentioned, God can hear, God will hear, and God will answer your prayers. But before we get there, I kind of want to set the scene a little bit. This is Jesus, and he's here, and he's with a certain group of people at the beginning of the chapter, and his disciples have a response. I think it's kind of a neat story. He says in Matthew chapter 15, let's start in verse number 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. We knew that the scribes and Pharisees were their enemies. They hated the Lord. They didn't want to believe in him. They were hypocritical. They could care less about what he was teaching. They were just trying to trip him up. Even though he did miraculous miracles in front of all of them, it didn't matter. They wanted to find fault with him because people were following him and not them. It says, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So they have found the law. They have found the stipulation. They says, well, why in the world aren't your disciples doing things that we think is right? Doing the things that we think are necessary. Be careful when you talk about man-made laws. You know, there are principles and guidelines that are found in the scriptures that we learn from and we grow from and we apply them to our lives. But these Pharisees and these scribes, they had made law after law after law, and they just wanted people to follow underneath this burden of their law. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now, and so Jesus says, look, that's something little. That's something that's tiny. Now, why do you care so much about this little thing when you are doing something so much worse in God's eyes? Let's keep on going. He says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. Now that was one of the Ten Commandments. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So he's saying to him, look, you're so worried about this little thing, but there are so much greater things that you need to worry about inside your own life. And he gives this example. And then he speaks to him in a very harsh way. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he says, these are the people that were sitting in the pews, and they were faithful, and they would say things to them, and they would compliment them, and they would talk about things of the word of God, but their heart was so far away from God. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So when you come to this spot, and he's saying, I want you to consider what's in your heart. I want you to look at your life and compare it to what's going on with your life and consider what's happening and what's coming out of your heart. Then came his disciples. This is what I want you to look at. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? They were worried about what the Pharisees had to say. They were worried. He says, don't you realize you offended these guys? Don't you realize this is the religious leaders of the days? These are the men that can help you. These are the men that we look up to. These are the men that people follow. You could have offended them. How could you have done that? They were confused, and Jesus here is teaching them a principle, and you're going to see how it connects with this Syrophoenician woman in a second. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So he's saying, look, they have their rituals, they have their traditions, they do not know God, they do not believe in the God, and because of that, they're going to just, in the end, cause turmoil, but also they're both going to fall in the ditch, both are headed toward destruction. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not yet ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. And he's going back, he says, it's a heart issue. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, he says, all those wicked things, it has something to do with your heart. And they're so worried about their traditions on the outward, and they don't care anything about their inward traditions. And it's important to get and understand this realization that we must take care of our hearts. If not, we can become just like those Pharisees. We're sitting there, oh, this person didn't do this, or this person didn't say this the way they should have, and this way they should have. And that's, Jesus is saying, look, it's your heart issue. Deal with the heart issue. And he says, these are the things which defile man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now you see that this is an area that Jesus leaves. He's only going there for a short period of time. I believe he has one of those divine appointments. He knows that this woman's here. He knows this woman has a need. And he heads to this area. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Now we know that this woman is a Gentile. We know that this woman is from Canaan, which we know you go down, you travel down Noah's, if you know Noah's lineage, and you got the Canaan, which had the Canaanites, and also he had these are from the son of Sidon there, and they're under Phoenician control right now, and that's why you're getting the word Syrophoenician. It says, O Lord, and so he says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. So we see this first request. This woman comes and cries out. Now, this is normal for Jesus. There are people who would follow and cry out to him. The difference is they're in a Gentile area. This is not the Jerusalem area. This is a lady who is not a Jew, who is saying, O Lord, thou son of David. She is beseeching him based off of the fact that he is a Jew. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So this is her, have mercy on me, you see. It's not having mercy on her daughter, but have mercy on me. Grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. So you can imagine that this woman comes, and I can see her at a distance. She's heard about Jesus. She believes that Jesus can help, and she believes, and she has faith in Jesus, and she cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We remember that saying that came from blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There's a difference in the response. Jesus is listening then, and he hears, and he stands still, and he tells him to come hither. But here, Jesus does not answer her. He says that in verse number 23, but he answered not a word. Now, what is he doing something here? I believe he is trying to increase her faith, but he's also teaching the disciples something about themselves. He has just taught the disciples, which our issues are heart issues. And at this point in time, the disciples are still probably not under the understanding that Jesus has come for the whole world and that the Gentiles are going to be a part of it too. They didn't get that till way down the road. They started understanding it and started figuring it out. But Jesus ignores the woman. And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So the disciples see that Jesus doesn't respond. Disciples think, you know what, Jesus probably doesn't want to have anything to do with this woman, that this woman's a Gentile, and that he goes, the disciples go up to Jesus and says, send her away. And the disciples are good at that. They're individuals and people that we think are important enough that we need to reach out to. And then there's other people we say, we just wish we didn't have to deal with them. Remember, 10 verses earlier, how many verses earlier, he goes to the Pharisees and says, Jesus, do you remember, do you know what you said to the Pharisees? You know what? You could have defended the Pharisees. Why in the world would you talk to them like that? But this woman who is crying out and that's recognizing Jesus as Lord and begging Jesus for help, and she's someone who knows she needs help and asking for help, and you have Pharisees over here that who are so stuck in their traditions, do not see that they have a need, do not know that they really truly need Jesus and the power of Jesus and Jesus' saving, transforming ability. They want to be friends with them because of their position and because of where they're at. Jesus is teaching this, that woman over there that has faith in Jesus Christ and has faith in believing that Jesus can help her and help her daughter is more important than those over here that want to have nothing to do with them. Did Jesus come to die for them? He did. Did Jesus come to die for them, her? He did. Does he love them both? He does. But over here, the disciples want to just send her away. Disciples want to have nothing to do with her. And is there people in our lives that we get annoyed with? Are there people in our lives that we wish that we could just go away? And this is an important truth. And I think the reason why he is not responding is because he wants to reveal something unto the disciples about themselves. Why do you want to send her away? We remember when it was the feeding of the 5,000 and it became nighttime. What did the disciples say? Send them away that they may go eat. And Jesus says, you give them to eat. And he says, no, we don't have it. And he says, look what you have. Take what you have, and I can bless that. So be careful about sending people away. Be careful about turning people away. Be careful about writing people off, because you're going to see in a second that Jesus says, great is thy faith, but this faith is coming in an unexpected place. So often someone comes to church and maybe they dress right, maybe they act right, maybe they say the right things, maybe they have a college degree, maybe they have money, and we think, boy, that would be a great person to become a member of Faith Baptist Church. That they got a lot of things to offer the church. That's not the way you're supposed to look at people. You're supposed to look at people as the fact that there are souls that are in need of a Savior, and that if they come and they want to be a part and they want to join up in fellowship, we love them and we care for them, no matter how much money they have or do not have, no matter where they come from or where their background is, are they saved or are they on their way to heaven? And there are people that we just like, I don't want to mess with them. I don't want to deal with them. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, hey, there is a group of people here that need you. This woman needs me, and she knows she needs me. I came all the way to this area to try to help this person. You know, it's easy sometimes to just send certain people away. But that's not the way that Jesus wants us to look at. Look what it says. And you see some more responses that are a little bit unusual from Jesus. But he answered her not a word, in verse number 23, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. They were probably annoyed by her. They were probably embarrassed by her. And they just didn't want to have to put up with her. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I believe he right here, he is referring to and he's speaking to disciples. Because it said it, he did not answer her word, but when the disciples said something, he's speaking to them, and he's reminding them, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And at that point in time, the disciples understand that. Yeah, that's right, that's right. We should send her away. Then came that she and worshipped him. So I believe at one point in time, she was at a distance. They had stopped. They began this conversation. She comes up to him and says that she worships him, saying, Lord, help me. Once again, this is a personal issue. It's something that she is grieved for her daughter. She is feeling the burden for her daughter's sin. She sees the hurt that she has, and she has said, Lord, I need your help to help me. It says in verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, after Jesus not answering our prayer, at least we don't think he answers our prayer, many of us would leave. Now he responds with something that some people would call critical, but we know the Lord loves this woman. And I wish I could have been there to see this, to hear this, to speak this, hear that how he spoke it to this woman. I think that this woman knows that Jesus is going to help her. And I think the way he's responding to her is in a way, it's a tender, loving way. And to just what he's trying to do is increase this woman's faith. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's saying, I don't need to be that Jew. I just want your help. I just want what you can give me. Even be happy with just a little crumb. How good would we be if we were just happy with just a little crumb? If we just be thankful that Jesus Christ is our exceeding great reward, like it says in Genesis, that he would be our goal, our spiritual ambition in life. In verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. So let's think about a few things and we'll be done. First thing I want you to think about is the request. The request. Most people would not have expected faith in this area. When she went to this, and if you go to the book of Mark, it talks about she's called the Syrophoenician woman. That's why I keep on calling her that. Most people would not expect it to find faith in Tyre and Sidon. You know, over here in Jerusalem, these Pharisees, these scribes, these religious leaders, the people that were looked up there, this is where faith should be. But they're going to Tyre and Sidon. Doesn't say they stay for any period of time, but a short period of time. They travel great distance. And when they travel this great distance, they find this woman. This woman finds them, and he helps them. That's how much he loves them. That's how much he loves people. That's how much he loves individuals. If a person has faith and a person is seeking after God, that's a person that Jesus Christ will be able to help. We have preconceived ideas about where God is going to work and what God is going to do. We have preconceived ideas about who we should give the word of God to and who we should not give the word of God to. And the importance for us to understand is what he's telling his disciples, because the disciples are going to be going to the Gentiles. The disciples are going to be turning the world upside down. The disciples are going to be a group of people that go out. And I know Paul does most of the mission work, but they're going to go into other areas. They're going to have to understand that Jesus loves these Gentiles. Jesus wants these people to have help, and he's going to help them, and that they had need there. There's a request of this woman. The request is, the first thing I've noticed, I've mentioned more than once, on three different times, she says, have mercy on me. She identified herself with the need of her daughter, and she came to Christ saying, have mercy on me. This woman, mother was so greatly burdened that she went to Christ so inseparably knit together with the need of her daughter that she just asked help for herself. As I think about this, I don't think about, am I able to bring Christ to my children? I'm thinking, do I have the faith enough to bring my children to him? Lord, they need you. And spend time in prayer and continually in prayer and continually in prayer saying, God, they need you. Lord, this is a burden in my heart. This is a burden in my life. Lord, help me to help them. How much more will we accomplish if we spend time on our knees for other people? And I know I'm not going to say it exactly right, but there is an evangelist or preacher that used to say, we need to spend time on our knees with God on behalf of men before we ever go to men on behalf of God. It's important to spend time with God on behalf of men before we ever go to men on behalf of God. We can get more done praying And then as our hearts are right, we can go out and do what God's called us to do. Many people are disturbed about their needs of their children. I've heard stories from some of you, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I wish my children would live for God. But are we troubled enough about our children's need, and do we believe in God enough that he can meet those needs, that we had the faith to go to God on behalf of our children? And then we leave it with God. We believe and we live a life that is above reproach and that's for the Lord, and allow God and have faith that God can do something. So often we pray and we do not pray like we should because we do not believe there's hope. How many times have we said, my husband is hopeless, or my wife is hopeless, our children's case is hopeless, or grand? That's a horrible way to live that life that way. She knew that only the Lord Jesus could help with this need. We spend so much time talking about our lives and so little time bringing our needs to the Lord. Think about how this woman was seeking Jesus in her need. She responded, and she continued to respond. She continued to go. Second thing, not only do you see the request, I want you to see the responses. The responses. First of all, you see that Jesus was silent. You see how she responds? He's silent. There's a different reason that I think he's silent here. As I mentioned before, he's trying to help the disciples, but he's also doing a work in her heart. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers, we turn around and we stop praying. Sometimes when God says no and God says wait, he is trying to build our faith. He's trying to increase our faith. He's trying to do something inside of us. They saw God do a greater work among the heathen. The disciples saw God do a greater work among the heathen than among the religious traditionalists. Why is that? God wanted to teach him something. Jesus wanted to teach him something. So what is your response? You know, is there a certain group of people that you think you should reach out to and only to them? Or do you believe that he cares for the whole world and we should reach out to all? So often it's easy to say, send them away. And it's funny, some people who love children in the children's ministry would say, you know, the children are the most important people, and those are the people we should be reaching. And then there's other people who care more about other things and adult things. They would say, well, send the children away. They don't do anything to help the church. And then some people say, well, send the older people away. They don't do anything. It's, you know, he cares for all of us. We shouldn't be sending people away. He fanned the flame of her faith by the way he dealt with her, causing it to grow and enlarge until he finally said, O woman, great is thy faith. When we bring a request to the Lord and immediately do not get the answers we desire, we say, is God ever going to come through? It may be that the Lord is certainly going to come through, but he is working on our faith. I see the response of Jesus here. He is trying to build that person's faith. And sometimes when we sit there and we pray, if we got the immediate answer of prayer every single time, you know what we would consider God? Nothing but a spiritual bank. Okay, Lord, I need this transaction now. Okay, Lord, you be my genie in the bottle. I'm going to ask you this request, and I expect, poof, to it happen. God doesn't work that way. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. And you see, as he deals with this woman, he is trying to increase her faith. The third thing I want you to see here, I want you to see the reward. The reward. She gets it. She gets what she asked for. Look what it says in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. See, I think not only was the reward there one of the getting what the daughter needed, but also the increase in her faith. I think at the beginning when the woman was crying out to the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Help me. You know what? I don't think she had the same amount of faith. But when she came and she spoke to him and she listened to him speak, her faith increased. And that's when he said, how great is thy faith? So where do we go tonight with this passage of scripture and the story? Do we really truly pray? I know that some of us say we do, and maybe we do, but this is something I need to do more. When I see this thing and I want my children to turn out right, my children are not perfect. If you spend a few minutes with them, you would know that. But so many people try to say encouraging words about my kids, and I'm thankful for that. And I know they say encouraging words about other kids inside our church, and I'm thankful for that. But there is a spiritual battle that's going on for their lives, and I need to be faithful praying for them. I need to be faithful because I want them to genuinely love the Lord and want to walk with the Lord. And I need to learn how to pray like this woman prayed. And I need to learn how to pray and continue on praying and doing it with a passion and saying, Lord, this is something I need your help with. Lord, help me, because this is part of my responsibility. This is part of my ministry. This is part of my life. And so I know as you consider different troubled people or different hard cases in your life, whether it be a husband or a wife, whether it be a son or daughter or grandson, granddaughter, as you look at this, do you have the faith? I know you have faith to live out your faith in front of them. And I know you have the faith to show them the Word of God. But do you have the faith to continually take them to God in prayer? Do you believe God can answer prayers? Do you believe that God can do this work? This woman believed this, even though Jesus did not answer. And even though Jesus answered in a way that would seem like he was being critical when he spoke to the disciples in verse 24. And in verse 26, even though he spoke to her and saying that I didn't come for you, she still said, you can still help me. What that type of faith and believing that Jesus can truly help is a difference maker. Do we pray like that? I know you hear stories about, I don't know how many years ago it was when I preached on Mother's Day about praying mothers. I don't even know what this, which mother I use in the Bible, but we know that the world's famous for praying mothers. I don't know about you think about it. I know that my mother prayed for me. I don't know how many stories I've heard of people in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, heard my mom pray for me. I heard my mom pray for me. I heard my mom come home late at night and I'd hear my mom up still praying for me. I don't know if any of you have that story or if you have that type of testimony, but do we have that today? Do we have moms and dads that are praying for our families and continually praying for our families? There's a need there. We need to fight for it, and we need to fight on our knees and continually to pray. This Syrophoenician woman, people would not expect a great faith there. There's not many times when Jesus looked at somebody and Jesus marveled at someone's faith and said, that's great faith. The Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the law. They knew it frontwards. They knew it backwards. They knew all these different things. That's where everybody thought faith was. But the Gentile woman that was under a curse because he wasn't from the nation of Israel, that's where the great faith was. So don't say, well, it's only men that can have faith. It's only husbands and fathers that can have faith for their family. No. A praying mother can make a huge difference. And let us pray for our families. Let us pray for our young people. Let's not just send them away and say, they're bothering me, they're annoying, they're this, they're that. Let's love them the way that he does, and let's continue to go to him. Remember, you're not going to become an annoyance to God by continuing on praying. He tells you to pray without ceasing. He tells you to cast your burdens upon him. So when we consider praying, you say, Pastor, they're so far away, I can't make a difference. This woman was praying for her daughter, and her daughter wasn't even there. The daughter was at somewhere else being vexed with the demons. We can pray. Just as Daniel prayed for Jerusalem, just as Nehemiah prayed for Jerusalem hundreds of miles away, even if they're not in your home anymore, and even if they are in your home, we can still make a difference by praying for them. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.